Hello and welcome to another episode of the Race Department podcast, where we whittle on about the latest and greatest in motorsport and sim racing news. I'm Paul Glover, and this time around we are one man down as Paul Jeffrey recovers from a busy and hectic weekend, also successful in Milan for the SRO eSport competition. We won't miss him, as I have Joseph Wright and David Nativo standing by. Since our last podcast, there have been news galore, so if you struggle to keep on top of it, don't worry, we're here to give you a bit of a breakdown. So let's welcome my co-host into the RD Virtual Studio. Firstly, he says he wins races with default setups, though we all know it's a lie. Say hello to Joseph Wright.
Hello, and you were there when I did win.
We're not going to talk about it. Now we fly over the channel and continue on land until we arrive in Italy. He's closer to Milan than myself and Joseph. But what excuses he's got for not being there for the first round of Blank Pound GT and SRO eSport? It had better be good. Hello to David A. Nativo.
Ciao, ragazzi. Ciao.
Ciao, my friend. What is your excuse for not being there?
Well, I might be closer than you guys to Milan, but I'm still 800 to 900 kilometers away from it. So it's not a short trip.
That's a stone throw, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, basically, more or less.
So anyway, right, there's been a lot going on this week. We're going to talk about Häkkinen returning to racing, the recent announcement of Assetto Corsa Competizione, version 1 date has been announced. We had a feeling it was coming soon because they had been ramping up the hot fixes and releases. Truck driver analysis, which I'm sure Joseph's looking forward to get his teeth into. And then we're going to talk about the main topic this week, is what we feel has been the biggest change in development in sim racing. Is it software? Is it games? Whatever is it? Is it hardware? So we'll get into that at some point. So let's get straight into it. Mika Häkkinen has announced he's returning to racing. He's going to take part in the 2019 Suzuka 10 Hours with McLaren. He's racing in a GT3 specification McLaren 720S. He's going to be alongside Katsuyori Kubota and Hiroki Ishiwa. And apologies if I've completely ruined those. Joseph, the old man's coming back. What are your thoughts?
Well, it is absolutely great to see all the old dogs come back into racing. Obviously, you've got Häkkinen now. You've got Blundell in BTCC as well. It's great to see that these guys are going back racing. But I'm not surprised that Häkkinen has chosen the McLaren and he's chosen Suzuka to do his return into motorsport. McLaren, because he's been almost an ambassadorial role at the McLaren team. And Suzuka, it's such an important circuit for him. He not only does he absolutely adore the fans in Japan, he won his first championship in 1998, I believe, at that circuit. So it's a whole massive thing for him. But like I said, I'm just so happy to see these old dogs get back into racing. It's almost as if it's like a drug. It really is. It's in their blood. And you try to get over it. You try to get out of the all of being obsessed with it and always having to need it, but at the end of the day you get that feel for it again. And he did when he did last year, actually 2018, he drove a McLaren. He's obviously loved the fact he's back behind the wheel of a machine again, and it's a gateway drug into racing. So that's what he's gone back into doing, and I'm happy to see the old dogs come back at it.
So last time I think he competitively took part, David A, was in the German DTM Championship in 2005. I'm sure he's probably been behind a wheel every so often doing little bits and pieces. But do you think he can still be competitive?
That's a tricky question. I think yes, because Mika is a really, really great driver. I always thought that he retired from F1 too early, but surely had his reasons. As you said, he surely have hopped in and out of racing cars in these years, apart from when he competed officially for DTM and such. He might not have the not the training, but the you know, that kind of experience you have from doing something habitually every week, every month. But
he's got experience, is what you're saying, right? About experience.
Yeah, yeah. He has, as Joseph was said, he's a driver in his DNA. So even if he was not to take seat in any racing car for let's say 5 years, he would still be fast as soon as he touches the wheel again.
You think? You don't think he'll be rusty?
Well, rusty for sure, but slow? No, no, I don't think so.
Thing is, you know, racing a car, I guess, is not like other sports, is it? Like football, basketball, where, you know, stamina probably comes to play a little bit more. I think age does have an effect on your reaction times and things like that, you know. Like, the brain still moves at a lot of pace. I mean, if you look at a footballer that's in his 40s and he tries to compete against younger players, his body probably can't do the things that his brain's trying to tell the body to do. That's not as a bigger hill, I think, in motorsport. But, you know, has he got the stamina to do a stint, which I guess he has to do at least 2 or 3 hours in that race, Joseph? What are your thoughts? Would he be competitive for a longer duration? I mean, because you could argue that his age, he may only be good for an hour. Can he? I think the danger is coming back is you could damage that reputation a little bit.
Oh, yeah. But at the end of the day, it's not all about the reputation, is it? If they like motorsport, then they're going to get in and race it. And I think he's doing it purely because he believes he still is fast enough. And that's, at the end of the day, is what you need to do. You need to believe in yourself. And, well, it's something that I think, yes, he is getting up, though. He is getting into his ages. But he's at the end of the day, he's still at an age where you can be competitive. Just because he's in his 50s doesn't mean that he's going to have to slow it down a bit.
He's only just 50, to be fair to him. So
exactly. He is younger than my dad. I mean, my dad just went on karting on the weekend. He was a lot of fun to race against. I mean, just because you're getting old doesn't mean that you have to slow it down. If anything, it means you can step it up a notch. You're close to death anyway. You might as well push it as hard as you can.
Oh God, that got morbid, didn't it?
No, I'm just saying. I'm just saying. At the end of the day, you're getting up there anyway. Definitely in a racist mentality.
You'll be turning around going, well, you might as well do it because Brexit's coming. You know?
No. I'm just going to say, like, one guy that I think everyone knows is Guy Martin. And yeah. I've listened to so many interviews with him.
He was at the MotoGP at the weekend. Well, there's a great YouTube clip that you just mentioned him on being interviewed by BT Sport. Have a look at their Twitter account. And it's just the man's passion just comes across. Anyway, go on. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, before you rudely interrupted...
No, I'm just a tedious link. Go on, carry on.
What I was saying was, he's said, and so many of the people he races with, it's mainly in bike racing, but they say, if they're going to die, they'd rather do it doing something they loved. And motorsport is something that they love. And it's one of those things. If someone dies behind the wheel of a racing car, you know they were happy and they were enjoying themselves when they did it. And I think when you get to that age, you've got to stop just saying, oh, but I can't do it anymore. I've got to settle down. I've got to go and do, well, he's got a lot of money. I just got to do random things and just keep myself busy. Why not keep yourself busy by doing what you love? You haven't got to slow it down. Just because you're getting older does not mean you have to stop doing what you love. At the end of the day, if you can still do it, do it. If he's still got the use of his legs, he's still in that mind, he's still fit, he's still able to do it, just get out there and do it.
Yeah, there was a recent episode of the Grand Tour where they, I think it was, they were talking about Le Mans car. I think it was Porsche. It was the Porsche, sorry. Where they first entered Le Mans, and there was a British racing driver. Now, I think he's in his 80s.
It got back behind his own wheel and started to race. Oh my God, yeah. I remember that episode.
That was brilliant, right? I mean, I think that kind of backs up your point. So yeah, okay, all right, let's, I don't think we can really, David, you got anything else to say on that? But I don't think we can talk, not much more we can say on Mika, really, is there?
Yeah, basically, Joseph said it all. I agree, even if it is his way of putting it, maybe it's a bit extreme. It sounds like a very Viking mindset. If you have to die, better be with your sword in your hands.
yeah.
That is me for you.
In the driver's paradise, you get there only if you die with your wheel in your hand. So. No, but jokes aside, Joseph is right. Basically, a driver is always going to be a driver and will try to be in a race car and be competitive for as long as possible. And I don't think Mika will have a bad performance. He's talented. He looks like he's still in a good shape. So
he does, doesn't he? Yeah, for a man his age, he does. And
plus,
I've stuck him with a couple of good drivers by the looks of things as well. So
yeah, sure.
The odds are in his favour, aren't they?
You say that, but do you know these two drivers?
No, I'm just judging by what I've read. So
okay, fair enough.
So, right. Okay, so item number two. Assetto Corsa Competizione, they've announced on the 29th of May, I think I got the date right, that version 1 is finally coming. So those of you that have been on the early access ride since day dot, like myself, though only recently started playing the game, if I'm honest. I kind of got the feeling this was coming, because I think they announced, so looking at the history, they announced Build 7 release at the beginning of April. And then they quickly, the next day, I think it was the 3rd of April, then on the 4th of April, they announced, oh, here's a hot fix, 0.71. And then recently, last Tuesday, so nearly a week away, they announced another hot fix, 0.7.2. And a lot of questions are being asked from people, like, what's happening? It's gone very quiet. Because I think we talked about in the first podcast that we did, they decided to rework some of the online multiplayer stuff, and they kind of did say that this is going to delay things, but we think it's the right decision. And from my experience of online racing, I have to say, I have to agree with them. A couple of bugs, but it's good. It's coming. What, Joseph, start with you. What are your expectations? Because at the weekend, we saw SRR Esport Competition had access to all the cars, which is lovely to see. People obviously screaming for it now. We want. Do you think they're going to release bits and like go 0.8, 0.9 and then 1? Or do you think they're just going to make us wait now for version 1?
Well, I think there's two different ways they can do it. They can continue to do their slow release they've been doing and slowly releasing cars, making sure that everyone's happy with them, don't have any bugs with them, fix them, change the tracks. But I think, really, they've got everything hammered down. They've got it all sorted. You saw them all out at the weekend. And I think that shows, actually, do you know what? They are done. I think now what they're doing is internal bug fixing. They're doing internal working, making sure everything is perfect for 1.0 release. And, of course, I think people were expecting it to come a little sooner. I know I was expecting 1.0 to come a little sooner with the esports series that just come. I think we were all expecting 1.0 to come out this weekend. About a month ago, at least, we thought it would come out this weekend when the esports series was announced. But, at the end of the day, it's got to be as best as they can make it. And if that means waiting just a month, waiting to make sure when it comes out I can get down on the circuit and love it, because to be honest, I've not been able to love it yet. I've been out there, I've enjoyed it, but I've not been able to do anything longer than a 20 minute race because I just haven't fell in love like I thought I would. And I think that will change once I get the full game, once I get access to all of the cars and all of the content.
As you know, I'm an avid VR user, and I turned it on.
Just become a VR user, undrivable for me.
Right. So, unfortunately, because I've only got a 1060 graphics card, running multiplayer VR is not going to be possible. Like, judging by the frame rate that I'm getting in single player, and I had to push the graphics pack to get it work. So I'm running single screen and set a Corsa, which feels a bit alien to me because I'm used to VR at the moment. But saying that, I've raced now in 2 club events, race department. I recommend that you check them out. And I qualified 8th, I think it was, or 10th, or I can't remember. Was it 11th? I don't know. Anyway,
but knowing you finished dead last.
No. I finished 8th. So what happened was...
And did everyone else retire?
No, is that how you got eight? No. Listen to me. So Ricardo, one of our fellow staffers, spun in the second chicane, and I tried my best to avoid him, and he clipped me in, and I spun round. So I went from, I don't know, 8th to whatever, like 16th, and I managed to... But the game is really impressing me. I don't like the GT3 cars in Assetto Corsa, but I like these, it just shows you there's a difference. And I was watching a stream from another guy the other day, and I was watching the weather transitions look unbelievable, like the wet line stuff just looks phenomenal. I think I'll be awful in the wet because I haven't tried it yet, but it just, the sounds, the immersion of the game is just like, just takes as if you're there. And I think
it is that for me whenever I get a game, because of what I do and what I'm known for with the commentary, what I do is one of the first things I test is, what does it look like from TV cameras? How good do these cars look going past the screen? And for me, it looked amazing. And I was a bit like, this is actually fantastic. But I got down on track myself and the cars feel so different to anything I've driven before. I just can't find the pace that I was. And the graphics, to be able to run it, again, I've also got a 1060, to be able to run it, it's so hard on the graphics. Actually, it's low quality. You've still got low frame rate. It's not great. It's very trying. I believe that is purely because it's in beta.
It may be.
I think that's whenever I get any game in beta, the frame rate is never as good as when the game is released, purely because that at the moment optimization is not exactly what they're focusing on. They're focusing on everything else, making to get sure the game is running perfectly, and then the optimization will come. And I think that might be what we'll see in a month's time. If there's no small updates, that might be one of the things they're doing. Where can we get the optimization? Where can we help the average Joe on a rundown PC run this game, even if on the lower settings, but run this game?
I'm running it medium without issues.
I haven't, I'm going to be honest, I have not had ACC installed for about 3 months.
Okay.
I bought it day one, downloaded it, played it, but I haven't played it in a while. I'm sure if I got back on it again tomorrow, my graphics...
Spectator mode's currently disabled, which is a real shame because I'm just trying to check that out. But for RD purposes, of course, but that's currently still remains disabled.
Really?
Yeah. They weren't.
When did that get disabled?
I don't know. I can't remember which release, but it's still currently disabled because I checked it out yesterday. So the app that they have in the folder... still won't connect at the moment. So I'm hoping that'll come with version 1 because, you know, the version 1 is out and obviously we'll want to stream some cover bits.
Are you launching it in the right way? Are you doing it?
I read a forum post where being disabled. Went on their forums. So yeah, please.
Fair enough. Well, there you go.
Give me a bit of bloody credit. Right.
No, you don't get any credit.
Davide, I know that you are a big user of Assetto Corsa. Have you played Competizione yet?
I bought it when it came out, basically the same day. But I haven't been able to play it because of a bug, basically. there is an issue with overclocked graphics card, but it's not.
It's
not their fault. No, it's.
Is that to do with the Unreal Engine?
Yeah. Basically, it's the engine's fault because the same is happening with the Ride 3 and other similar games. Basically, I cannot play them because they crash, and It's a bit worrying me because I hope that the Unreal Engine developers are going to address that.
I'm glad someone here actually knew what was going on, because you and me, Paul, we were just talking like it was ACC's fault.
No, it's the engine's fault.
There you go. I apologize.
He's talking about the bug with the overclocked graphics card.
Yeah, basically, yeah. It tends to crash with the fatal error message.
Right. I've had the fatal error message myself. I was doing an online race. I just finished qualifying. Yeah. In between qualifying and the race, it crashed. Luckily, I managed to get back in because there's like a 4-minute countdown between.
Oh, yeah, I had that actually. I had that when I did an online race. The only one I ever tried, mine crashed. And I just gave up, and that's when I uninstalled the game.
Davide, if you were the developers now, and you've just announced on the 29th of May that you're going to push out version 1 release, what would you do? Would you just wait now and just push the full version, or would you continue doing your incremental updates, so get out version 8, version 9 in the next couple of weeks?
Mm. You're asking me if I understood correctly, if I was the developer.
Well, if you put you in your shoes, what would you do?
Yeah, I just wanted to be
or
sure.
What do you
that
want?
That
do
I
you
got
want?
It right.
You, as if you were playing the game, even though you can't. So, if you were one of the eagerly awaiting customers, you know, you've gotten the early access. You want the Bentley or whatever cars are still waiting for. I think the Bentley is one of them. The Lexus is another one.
Yeah,
that people want to get behind.
Some are still missing. Yeah,
yeah. What would you want? Would you wait a month, or would you want incremental releases?
Okay. My thought on the subject is that jumping from the current version, 0.7 to 1.0 shouldn't be that much of a problem, because as Joseph was said, they sorted out all the big issues, so it's just a matter of ironing out the last problems, like the fatal error bug. No, just joking. The last small things. What worries me, if we have to talk about this, it's, as you were mentioning, the cars. Because this is a sim meant for online competition. So for people to, you can race offline, of course, but it's meant, since its birth and even its title, it means competing with other players, and it's the reason why we're having also the current Blankpain GT eSport tournament. So having new cars that haven't been tested by a large crowd kind of worries me about balance between them. So we might have a release when we have a bunch of new cars, because quite a few are still missing, and they have to address the balance of them, and I don't know, I think that could lead to some, of course, small problems, nothing that that can be solved, but I would maybe go with releasing a couple of cars at times until there is the full release, but in the full release I would have them all out.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what approach they take, actually, because no one really knows. And I think that one of the biggest complaints when you've got people waiting for games is the lack of communication, and it's a hard balance with getting that right. And you've got to remember, I think sometimes we forget they're developers, and probably one of their lesser skill sets is probably communication, because their head's down, they're just trying to get something out to their waiting public.
At the same time, they can't say everything to the public. I mean, they they know their job, they do their job, they know what they have to do, how and when. It's not always useful to communicate what you're doing, how you're doing it to the public, and it could also lead maybe sometimes to some confusion. So it's important to have communication on the important things, like okay, we're gonna delay the release, okay, we're gonna add this, remove that, but everything else to me is not vital. They can tell everything, and I talk of Kunos, but I talk of every sim developer, game developers. They know their job, like Kimi Raikkonen. They know what you're doing, what they're doing. So leave them alone.
Yeah, I mean, another thing that's quite interesting about this is the blog that recently came out about marbles on the track, and about you know, Aris from Kunos, sorry.
Yeah.
You know, I think the first line is, we're pretty proud and enthusiastic about marbles. Not only if you pass over them, they accumulate on your tyres and they make it lose grip on the dry and vibrate. And also, I was frequenting another place in the internet the other day, and somebody had done a slow-mo video, Joseph, of one of the tyres as it ran over the curbs. And the detail, and obviously you don't get to see that in the car, but just shows you the level of detail that's going into this game.
Yeah, the detail in it is amazing. And just looking quickly now at some of the stuff, and I'm trying my hardest to try and find that video now because that is sounds epic. But yeah, it does look, not only, obviously, you mentioned the beginning part of that quote from Aris was the fact that if you go offline during the dry, it'll accumulate on your tyres, something that will make you lose grip. But then they've also thought, and they know obviously, and then they've included the fact that if you go on marbles in wet, that will pick up the marbles and actually it will give you a little bit of tread. It will help you ever so slightly with the grip. And it's, you know, it's so much fun to see that difference in real life between what going offline means for the wet and for the dry. But to see it really work out in the sim is great. Then, obviously, one thing I love, that the first time I experienced it ever was in Project Cars, but I love it whenever it happens, aquaplaning. Something that's so difficult to control, but it's so much fun. And to see sims continue to improve the detail with that, it's saying in this quote here that having the tread on your tyres is going to help you from aquaplaning. It's something I love. The wet weather conditions always bring that out. And I'm sorry, I love it no matter what we're doing. And I'm just going to have a hunt now. And I'm going to look at this video because it does seem like incredible amount of detail is going into this sim. And that's what you want to see. That's,
yeah, and it's the same as I said at the beginning with the weather element and the stream I was watching every day and, you know, and the dry line and things like that. You know, it's that element of realism. And one thing I would say, Joseph, is, you know, one thing that I notice when I'm driving a Assetto Corsa Competizione is how early you have to get on the brakes with these cars. It's about trying to get that entry on the apex right and to then get the best out of the car. And I raced in Monza last night and I found by the end of the race, I was able to brake that a little bit later because I was used to getting used to the game more and more as I was putting the laps in. But when you make that first chicane and you're making up half a second of the car in front of you, NAS gives you a buzz. And I think it's not an easy game, and it's not too hard either. And I think it's just that, for me, it's just that right balance. And the detail and the tyre video that I've just sent you guys the link to, the weather stuff and the element, and there's just a lot. And you know, so it'll be interesting to see what Kunos do now, whether they release it in stages. I think that would be the best thing to do. If I was in their shoes, that should be the best thing to do.
No, I think it would be great to see them release in stages because then obviously we get it all. But at the end of the day, it'll just be that wait after a month and you finally get, well, a month and a half, you finally get that release of it. You get everything all at once. It's just like early early Christmas almost. You've got everything. You've got the entire game out at that point. You've got the career. You've got everything that you don't have at the moment in. That, for me, would just be that, woo, yes, I love that. But releasing it in the sections I have now, I haven't looked at it and thought, oh, yeah, I've got to reinstall the game because I want to try this app. No, for me at the moment, it's not a reinstall worthy. 1.0 comes out, I'm going to.
Okay, all right, great. Moving on. News item number 3 for this week. A new game. Truck Driver. Mr. Paul Jeffrey posted about it on April the 8th on Race Department. So go check out the article. There is a gameplay trailer. So it's coming from Triangle Studios and Sudesco, who are the truck manufacturer, if I believe I've got that right. So it says here, taking on the brave, if not someone, daunting task of going head-to-head with the undisputed king of truck driving game franchise, SES Software, Dutch development studio, Triangle Studios, are putting the final touches to their new and admittedly rather cool-looking new game, Truck Driver. Now, I know there's a big game out there called... I've got the game, and I've just forgot the name of it, so help me here, Joseph, because you probably played it loads and loads of
time. Euro Truck Simulator.
Yeah.
No, was it? Are you sure it's that? I don't quite think that's right. It doesn't sound right.
No, I know that. I know there is... Oh, what game is it? I've got it. It's... What game is it?
Are you actually stuck as to what the actual game name is?
The one that I've got.
Euro Truck Simulator.
Yeah, that one.
Were you literally stuck on that one?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Because I've only ever played it like a couple of times, because I think I got it cheap.
Played it a couple of times?
Yeah. Seriously. It's not really my bag, if I'm being honest with you, mate. I know this is more your thing.
It totally is. And it, well... The Euro Truck Driver, American Truck Driver, I'm just having a little hunt now to see what my exact... I've got combined about 250 hours in them. I love it. I love truck driving. I love just
sitting back
and driving.
So there's a thing. So there's insight into the mind of the truck driver. What do you love about driving a truck in a game?
It's relaxing for me. I put on a podcast normally. RD podcast, of course, no other podcasts allowed. I put on a podcast, I just listen to it, maybe put some music on, and I just drive. I like it, I can get from one destination, and I can be there, travelling from the UK all the way across into Poland. I can drive real lifetime 2 to 3 hours, happily, on one journey. Purely because, for me, it's relaxing.
Can I just ask a question? When you do that, do you go via the tunnel, or do you go via ferry?
It depends on what the GPS goes to me. The ferry is a shorter route. It's longer, but like time-wise, but it's a shorter route, so you drive more. For me, that's more fun because I get to drive more of the actual route. The train, because it's further inland, both sides drive less.
Okay.
But anyway, we're not on about Eurochuck.
Truck driver. Huge competition in that market, right?
Well, there is a huge competition within the market. I don't think you will ever beat SES's software. The reason I'm looking forward to it more than anything is because it can be a kickback on my bed on PlayStation, because it is a console truck game. Eurochuck is PC. That's what it is. American Truck. It's a PC game. You don't have a truck sim on a console. You don't really have any truck games or truck driving games on a console. So to have this, not only will it be a great for me to sit back on a pad and sit down in my bed and play it, but it's great for those who don't have a PC but still have a wheel for racing on console. You can still then sit back and drive on the truck on your console, and I think that's the market where it's going to thrive, not the PC side of it. If I were them, I wouldn't even try releasing a PC version. It's pointless against SES software, but the console, that is going to work so well.
Okay, so let's bring the console man in, Davide. Are you going to be buying this game? Does this interest you in any way?
Paul, I told you that I have no longer a console in our
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. That was two weeks ago, Davide. You don't text me or call me anymore. but if you still had a console, would you be buying this?
Well, you don't have to say yes.
You can say no. It's not your bag. It's not your bag.
No, it is. It is because I have Euro Truck Simulator 2 and I have something like 150 hours on it.
Okay.
And it's really relaxing. And I, as Joseph was said, and it also helped my relationship.
Can I just say, you two say it's relaxing.
Yeah.
Can I be controversial here? I have that down as boring. Sorry to say, like it's just not for me.
No, to be fair, it's not for everyone, is it? Yeah, exactly. This is it.
I tried. I bought it because I think it was on sale, and I like you know, and I know that likes with Joseph player, and there's a lot of people out there.
That's the thing. I bought it on sale. I think I paid maybe £6 for it.
But I
played it a lot when I was younger without paying for it. But moving on from that, I then bought it. I loved it so much. I went on to Steam, and I bought it on Steam. I loved it, and I just... It was when the Heavy Loads or something like that... When one of their DLCs came out... I just thought, you know what? Why not? I bought it, and since then, I own... all track expansions in both American Truck and Euro Truck. I own all the heavy loads, the large stuff. I own all DLCs apart from paint schemes. That's the only DLCs I don't own.
Okay.
Purely because it is a game that I love. And yes, you may find it boring, but for me, it's just amazing. But Truck Driver is something that is going to be, I think, again, it's going to be one of the ones where I can sit back. I'm going to have so much fun to just sit in my bed. Literally just relax, because at the moment I can't, but with this it can be a console one, and I think, like I said, that is where it's going to thrive. And I'm looking at some of the videos, actually, obviously, like you mentioned, Paul did do a news article about it, and within it, linked to our YouTube channel, are a few videos, so I'd recommend go and look at them. It's all beta footage right now, of course. But go and look at them, because it's great. Because I'm just watching the top one here back. The truck detailing, the trailer detailing. It looked not as good as obviously what we've had, but it's still great. I'm just going to pass to Davide one moment, because I think he's got something to say about this.
Yeah, because I have a different opinion compared to yours, because you say that you think that this game, this sim, is gonna thrive on consoles. And to be honest, I don't know, because I think that the reason, because similar products like ETS and the others have had such success, it's because they have been mainly revolving around the PC community, and you know that among the people that play on a computer, there are many who love simulators or slow-paced games. On consoles, I don't know, because console players are used to more fast-paced games, or even when you talk about Sims, they go for something catcher, more action-packed. So a game like Truck Driver, or even any other truck simulator coming to console, I don't know if it's gonna work so well for them. I think that their main market will still be the computer, to be honest. And that's not to be I don't know, to ruin the party, it's just my opinion. I think that for this kind of product, the computers are still the main audience.
I get your point, especially the fact you're gonna, you know, most people are gonna have a wheel rather than playing this with a controller. I don't know how much you're gonna get out of that. And I'm just, what seems to get me is there doesn't seem to be a lot of information about the game at this point. I know there are videos, development videos, but I'm just looking at the Steam page. It's a bit low on information right now. A couple of comments have been along the lines of, it's a Eurosim clone. I understand the appeal to these types of games. I think your comments around will it land on the consoles well, I kind of understand that. But until someone tries it, you don't really know, do you, I guess?
I'm looking at it, though, and I've just literally watched all three of the videos that are included in Paul's article, and it doesn't look very sim-based. It looks a lot more relaxing. It doesn't look
arcade-y.
It does, because I'm looking at what is part of the developer update and the one of the gameplay trailers, and it's saying work with the locals and you've got to do different things, and it looks like it's more shorter journeys. You've got this campaign to try and work together and try to do like build up these businesses rather than the enemies of the business, as it almost, that's what I'm getting from it anyway. Like you said, there's not a lot from the game, but it's definitely looking more, it's not looking like a hardcore sim. So I think that's why it's able to be published on console, unlike SES. But again, it's just all about a personal opinion, and there's no game that's going to appeal to everyone.
To me, it looks. I agree with Joseph. It looks more like I think it's called a bus simulator.
I've seen those, like, they're made by the same people who do like Farm Simulator and things like that.
As Joseph was saying, it seems like this truck driver game, it's gonna be different from, for example, Euro Truck, and I think the difference is gonna be maybe this is speculation, like the difference between a product like OMSI and Bus Simulator. OMSI, it's more sim-oriented with real maps, modding community, more aspects being simulated and all that. And it is just on a computer, if I remember correctly. While Bus Simulator is more on a custom map, because this truck driver game, if I understood correctly, is going to be on a custom map, not a real world map. Some aspects to be more game oriented, and I'm saying that of course in a positive way. Just it's Bus Simulator is different from OMSI, but this doesn't mean that one of them is better than the other. They have different focuses, and they work for the platforms they are in. So maybe. As Joseph was saying, Truck Driver will work good on consoles because it's going to have a different focus than Euro Truck, for example.
I just had a thought. I mean, with Euro Truck Simulator, what will happen when Brexit comes along? Because that's going to really ruin your roots, isn't it?
Yeah, you're going to be sitting at the ports for just hours.
Right. See, it's a bit of a running joke every podcast I have to mention the Brexit. Right, okay. So that's Truck Driver coming to you soon on Steam and PS4 and Xbox. If you want to know more, check out racedepartment.com, or you can also search Steam on Truck Driver. There isn't a great deal there. There's the odd development update, but that's probably about it for now. There's a few pretty videos to check out. Right, so moving on to the main topic. We were going to talk about something else, and we decided to change it. So this is going to be an interesting discussion this week. Do we keep David Day on the podcast? No, it's not really. The main topic this week is what's for you guys, and it's a personal opinion, and I'll start with you, David Day, this time around, is
okay.
What do you think has been the biggest change or development in, I guess, sim racing, but you could also say arcadish, you know, racing games, I think probably will open it up to, be it software or something hardware. What do you think's been the biggest change?
Okay, to me, I think that the biggest change has been on the sorry, on the hardware side of things, because simulators, I don't know, I have this personal idea that they haven't been evolving that much, especially in the last 10 years. There's been a peak of evolution between the late 90s and the early noughties, but then it kind of settled down the pace. Well, instead, the hardware for sim racing, it's constantly evolving, and it's always reaching new levels. And as I was saying in one of my articles, we have now direct drive wheels, hydraulic pedals, very complex shifters, things that 20 years ago were, I don't know, maybe not even in professional simulators had this, this kind of hardware that now everyone can buy, yeah, for a price, but it's totally worth it.
So are you just saying hardware in general? Have you got one specific item of hardware? You know, could it be something around motion rigs or the development of force feedback? Or are you just saying in general you think that hardware has been the biggest step in change for you?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Hardware, not force feedback. Hardware, the physical objects are where there has been the biggest evolution in sim racing.
And what do you think spurred that on? What do you think caused that?
I think that it's the desire of people who play sims to have quality products, and also products that can give them a better feeling when they're playing their simulator, and also a better immersion, make them feel more like they are actually playing something mimicking reality rather than a game. Because when you are playing a sim like I do on a pad, yeah, it feels good, but you still feel like you're maybe playing some kind of game. When you're in the same sim with a direct drive wheel, hydraulic pedals and so on, you feel like it's the real deal.
Okay, all right. I kind of see your angle there. Is there any player that you think in the hardware space, you know, potentially, you know, Fanatec maybe have come in and caused ripples, so other manufacturers have had to up their level, or do you think the open source element has been the biggest benefit with regards to, you know, direct drive wheels? Because I guess, you know, we talked about sim racing hardware a few weeks ago, didn't we? And I know that yes. Paul touched on the open source element, and I guess that from that, direct drive wheel started and then other players have come in. They're pretty expensive, and now even the likes of Fanatec are coming out with their own direct drive wheel as well. So what?
Yeah, and it was inevitable. I mean, the small companies, let's put it this way, started putting direct drive wheels on the market, and they are, I never been lucky enough to try one, but they seem to be an awesome product. So it was only a matter of time before bigger companies like Fanatec, but I think that in the future we might see even more companies, maybe also Thrustmaster might have a go at it. It's the next big thing hardware wise for
I don't know if I would call Fanatec a large organization. I think they're a niche.
Well, yeah, organization. It's not, surely you can
compare them to likes of Thrustmaster, Logitech. I mean, they're small fry in comparison. That's not me having a dig at them, but you know they are a niche target audience, don't they?
Yeah, Fanatec. Surely. But
so definitely bear in mind that I own something from Thrustmaster and something from Logitech, but nothing from Fanatec. That just shows that actually it is bearing in mind that I have a lot of things, it is a very niche one, even though it's large and it does do quite really, really good stuff. It is a smaller one compared to the bigger market.
It's also definitely. Because Logitech, for example, not only sells wheels and pedals, but also keyboards, mouses, mice, and so on. And the same is Thrustmaster. They have a wide range of products. Fanatec, they are focused on sim racing related hardware. So it's obvious that they are going to be a smaller company. But at the same time, if you compare them to other people making open source hardware, they are of course related to them a big company.
Joseph, over to you. From your personal perspective, what's been the biggest drive, the biggest change for racing games or sim racing, whatever you want to touch on?
Is the question let me just make this clear, is the question what's been the biggest change, or what do I feel has been the most important change?
Well, I guess you could say the biggest or the most important. It's totally up to you. It's an open question. It's a personal opinion.
That's where my... To be fair, both of them are going to have the same answer, the sense of they are both just as important as each other, and they have both developed just as much
as each
other.
Well, there's two answers. I mean,
Issue that I've been thinking about this since Davide mentioned about this becoming our main topic a week ago now. I've been thinking constantly about this, of actually what has been the biggest change, because you look at the hardware.
But it's for you, right? So it's biggest change for you.
But that's the thing. What has been the biggest change? Because I've gone through owning a Thrustmaster 458 Italia wheel. No force feedback, only turns, 360 full rotation. The pedals were the crappy plastic ones. I've gone from that into what I'm now upgrading my wheel into a fully fledged proper racing wheel. I've had the Logitech G29 for the past couple of years. Now I'm going on to a proper wheel. And it's just that thing of that's been a massive change.
Some people might argue with you that a Logitech G29 is a proper wheel.
Well, it is. I mean, I have loved it for the last couple of years. The only reason I've decided to make the change is because of you, Paul. You mentioned the fact that you had the new pedals.
Don't blame me.
And no, you said it feels different. It feels better. And I'm just like that. Yes, I've got
I do love my new pedals.
That thing is, yes, the Logitech 29, it's great. It's fantastic if you want to get into sim racing on a budget. It is, because I bought it for £200 with the H-shifter. It was fantastic, brand new, lovely. I think it's about £250 now. I think it actually has gone up slightly since the G27 was dropped. But anyway, I bought it really cheap compared to what I'm now going to be spending about £600-£700 on upgrading my wheel. So I bought it very cheap and it has done fantastic. I love it, but I'm upgrading purely because the next step is I feel like I always improve when my hardware improves. I went so much faster from single monitors when I went on to triple monitors. I was about 2 seconds a lap faster on some circuits. I then went on to VR and I'm even quicker. So just upgrading the hardware for me has been important. But then again, if I go all the way back to when I started sim racing on a computer, I was racing, Race 07. No, that was my second game. GameStop Car Extreme was my first. But I remember Race 07. I had it on a laptop. Lowest, you know how bad, that wasn't great quality anyway. Yeah, that was quite low quality. I had it on the lowest of low graphic settings.
And I
was on 10 frames. And sometimes it would drop below 10 frames. I was on the lowest low. So for me, everything is so important for where I am now. If I hadn't upgraded the computer, I wouldn't be still sim racing. I would have given it up. If I hadn't got the wheel, but the first ever wheel I bought, the Thrustmaster Italia, the pedals broke on it. For about 7-8 months, I was racing one-handed with my left hand on a joystick.
We know. You mentioned this in the hardware discussion.
So I think you'll change.
So what's been the biggest? So what's been the biggest thing for you? What's been the biggest change? Is it the same as Davide? Is it around the hardware, or was there anything around, you know, the huge development of a game that came out?
No.
and it created a new market?
Software was my main development. Not only going from when I upgraded PC, I still had my crappy wheel. I was loving it still. But it was when I bought it, I bought a new computer and I could finally run. I know people are going to say, really? But I could finally run Project Cars. And that's all I ever did play. I played just constantly Project Cars purely because it was one of the few games I owned at the time. I had this amazing new PC that could run fantastic quality. So I just got on Project Cars and I played the heck out of it. And that was the turning point for me just being, I like racing on the computer. I like doing it. I might do it a little bit more. I did that and it's just like, I'm never going back. I'm not. This is my life now. And from there, that's when I went and bought the wheel. I bought all these new sims that I now play as well. And I still play Project Cars 2 a lot, purely because that was where I found my home in sim racing, was that Project Cars. And for me, the software made the massive impact. If it hadn't been for the software, I never would have upgraded hardware.
So when you say software, are you talking about the way it looked, like it to entice you in, or was it more around the gameplay?
It was the gameplay. I got, because I upgraded the PC and I could get onto Project Cars, something I hadn't been able to do before, I was able to finally, it was the first proper racing game that I had played off of a console. So I played F1 a lot on console, but this was the first racing game I played on a PC properly. And I loved it. I fell in love because of the software, because of the games. It was not because I had the best racing wheel. It was not because I had all of these. It was great.
Joseph, can I ask you something?
Yes, of course, yeah.
Since you are talking about software that for you is the biggest change, but
yeah.
I want to ask you something. Do you think that racing sims from, let's say, 10 years ago and racing sims that we have now released this year this year has just begun, let's say last year, are they massively different from physics-wise, of course graphics have been evolved, physics-wise, 10 years ago racing sims are massively different from racing sims we had last year, or no?
Okay, Davide, you busted me. I'm gonna have to answer this truthfully now. Okay, I see your point. Hardware's definitely the thing that's upgraded and updated a lot more, because yes, I still play Grand Prix Legends, I still play Grand Prix 4, I still play a lot of the older games, and I still love it just as much. So fine, you win, Davide. I'm out. That's it. I'm not coming to your next podcast.
For me, I think from a hardware perspective, it wasn't necessarily the hardware that we've been talking about. I think it's more about the hardware in our PCs and in our consoles. For me, I think have been, because they allow the developers to do what they want to be able to do,
yeah,
to get the games to behave the way that they do. And I know that hopefully in the next week or two, we'll talk about this new announcement regarding MotoGP and the artificial intelligence stuff. And, you know, that kind of stuff won't be possible without that processor and that RAM and that graphics card that's sitting in that machine, because, you know, that's sitting there. Not only is it making things look beautiful, we were talking about earlier on about only having a 1060 and therefore struggling with VR in a Assetto Corsa Competizione, but, you know, the motherboard and the RAM are working out other calculations as well, aren't they? And deciding with, you know, that driver you're chasing down, that AI driver, what move he's going to make, when he's going to hit his brakes, and what move he's going to do on you when he's attacking you. And, you know, and it's the little details as well. So I know we mentioned it right about the sound in Assetto Corsa Competizione, and I'm sorry if I keep waxing lyrical about it, but when I was watching the stream on the SRO Esports the weekend on the Race Department Twitch channel, suddenly dawned on me that the trees are moving in the wind, and, you know, driving around the track, I'm not going to notice that kind of stuff. But I did then, and I was like, and it's just that immersion. So I agree that hardware for me has been, and recently getting the Fanatec V3s has been a huge leap forward in that. But I guess the biggest change for me on the hardware was VR. Like, it just took it, my experience, to a whole new level.
Well, this is the issue, that this topic of conversation for everyone
is hard.
It's different. For me, the biggest thing that made me one of the biggest things that made me obviously better was triple monitors. Is that the thing that made me, that was the biggest change for me? No. But that's the thing of, just because it's one of the things that you did, the major changes, such as you go into VR. For me, yes, I went to VR, but that for me wasn't the major thing in development in hardware for me, because that wasn't the thing that made me get properly hard on into it. That's the question of, what do you mean by the biggest change? It's just David, I hate you for this topic of conversation.
The mastermind. Like, you know, I was going to mention also, like, for me, when I had an Xbox, an Xbox 360, I spent hours and hours and hours playing on a controller, playing Project Gotham. And what I loved about that game...
Oh, yes, that game was amazing.
What I loved about it, and yes, it is arcadey, but what I loved about that game was I used to play in the Ferrari 355. I loved that little nimble car. Like, I loved it. Because it had a low centre of gravity and it was tiny. And okay, it wasn't as powerful as some of the other cars, but round the twisty tracks, it would keep up with the bigger boys because it was a nimble little car. I used to annoy my mates because I would always drive it because I loved it. But then you do the ones with the, and also the 360 modder, I actually quite liked in that as well. But the 360 modder was really good with the cones, you know, the cones. That game at that particular moment, I think helped me learn how to handle cars reasonably well, because you're flicking the car in to get the back end out, but also trying to avoid the cones, but also trying to do style points. And it is a bit of a drifting thing. But I spent hours and hours playing that game. So from a software point of view, I thought Project Cars was huge. Like, from a software element, I thought that was huge. And also going back to Grand Prix 4 as well, that was huge because it had the dry line in it, which, you know, until recently, you know, a lot of games didn't have. Hardware, for me, the biggest change there. Yeah, okay, years ago I had a wheel. I can't remember if it had force feedback or not. I think it might have done, but it wasn't very good. It was pretty basic. And yeah, I bought a G27, but I wouldn't say that was a huge jump. But the VR, like VR for me, just that whole immersion, being sat in the car. And I don't know if I mentioned this before, but when I bought it home, and I bought the graphics card the day before because I knew I needed a new graphics card. So I only had like a 950 or whatever was in the PC at the time. Picked it up, got it back because I bought it off a guy off eBay. And set it all up, and I was like, right, so set up all the sensors. And if you ever set up an Oculus Rift, the sensor thing is annoying, I must admit. So the new one coming out. Without those will make things easier for people. Sat in and I literally giggled. I giggled like a schoolgirl. I giggled like a schoolboy, really.
I got that because it was what that first thing that you do when you launch up in VR. Which one do you have?
I launched in Assetto Corsa. So
I mean, when you first launch
Oculus Rift, they got the demo stuff.
That part, that's when I giggled.
No, too. I didn't.
That's when I giggled.
I thought that was impressive, and it was lovely, and it was showy. But when I've gone into Assetto Corsa, I've loaded it up, and I think I chose a Ferrari. I can't remember what car I sat in, and I just giggled, and I was like a. I can't say what I want to say, but
do you remember the obviously that race that we were going to not mention about the multi-class one that at Imola that I won?
I don't know what race you're talking about. Carry on.
Well, that was the first ever race I've done online in my own VR. I've done one other one in VR. Since I've got and I won it. That's the first time I've won online at race department in a year, and it was when I got VR, and it was against who was it? Henry Sinek, was it? It was against Henry. I mean, I've never.
I think Paulie was in that as well. Were he Paulie?
I don't think Paulie was. He was in the GT race the night before. But went up, matched and beat what is a driver that I've idolized since commentating on him in Assetto Corsa, purely because he was just dominating and fast. And the night before in the GT race, he did just as well. And it's just, for me, that was amazing to feel.
Talking about VR, I know we kind of getting off topic here a little bit. And sorry, David Day, because you haven't got VR.
No worries.
Have you sat in the LMP Porsches like the from like the 91? Is it the 919 and all that? Have you sat in those yet?
No, the only LMP cars I've sat in is the LMP2.
Right. So even though you're in VR. Because those cockpits are so tight, it's like being in a spaceship. Like, it's just like, so, and it's really hard to explain. So I would recommend that when you get a moment, like, even go and boot up Assetto Corsa.
When I get a moment, you mean get 3 hours to download it.
And just and then just check it out. Cause it's just,
I will, because it is one of those things of any, personally, if you're one of my followers on Race Department, then you know that I've been very active with the USF 2000s as of late, purely because when I get into the cockpit of USF 2000, it's just, I'm just tight, I'm snug, I'm in there. And that's why I love open wheel cars.
You're like the LMP ones, because they are tight and they are snug. And it's just an unbelievable feeling. So for me, I think software, Project Gotham, the hardware in PCs, you know, allowing these games and VR. And I guess you could argue, David Day, that, you know, the hardware in PCs and in consoles is the same across the board for whatever game you play, really, isn't it? But for you, it's the physical hardware that's taken things to the next level, right?
Yeah, I think that it's where the biggest change has been. And because it allowed people to play Sims in a completely different way. Because, as you guys were saying, playing the same Sim, for example, not in VR and in VR, yes, you can play both ways and have fun with both experiences, but it's a game changer with VR. So hardware for me has allowed to play Sims in a completely different way during the years, the last years. That saw a very big development.
I get your point, and you know, I think Joseph is right. This is a hard question to answer, and it's quite an open-ended question. So, you know, tweet us, let us know on the forums, you know, for this post of the episode, and let us know what you think has been the biggest change for you. It might have been that when you were younger, your dad bought you a 200 quid wheel, and that might have been the biggest change for you. Or it might have been you got a new PC, and that opened up this whole new world. And it's what's personal to you, and it doesn't have to be necessarily just one thing. It could be multiple things, and I think that, you know, I've chosen three.
Everything, because everything at the end is what's got you to the point you're at now. So that's why it's so hard to define exactly what is the most important change.
Exactly.
Because everything, I went from a really bad computer up to a laptop into a really good computer. That was a massive change. I went from a really bad wheel into a broken wheel into what I've got now, into something even further. I went from single monitor to triple monitor to VR. Everything has got to what I am at now.
I want to pick up something that you said earlier on, which I want to make a topic for another podcast now, is this older age debate is, does hardware make you quicker? Because a lot of people argued that it doesn't. We're not going to talk about it now.
I do have a lot to say about that, but we'll do it in another, because we're not going to sit here for another hour.
Exactly. And I think that could be a huge topic for us to talk about. I was thinking, as you mentioned, I was like, damn, that's going to be a good topic to talk about, because there'll be people sitting there listening to this now going, Joseph is talking absolute rubbish. But there'll be other people going, yeah, I believe that Joseph is right. So it's a very...
Nobody's saying that. Nobody's saying that I'm right.
Well, true. Right. David, have you got anything else to add on that? Or do you think we should be, you know, you're happy just to say hardware and that's the biggest change for you?
Yeah, but if I can add just one thing, is that I have to compliment you for your... car selection, because every time you mention one of your favorite games from the past and a favorite car from it, it's always a Ferrari. So very nice.
No, it's always a Ferrari.
Very nice.
I don't know what it was, but I love the 355. I just love that car. And even now, like, if I come across a game that's got it, I'll go and jump in it. I like little nimble little cars. I always have done. Which is probably one of the reasons why I don't get on with the Bentley.
I love a good Bentley.
See, I don't like a big car.
I like having a fat bottom behind me. It's nice to. Yeah, I'm. I like defending a lot, because I am a quite a hard defender. So to have a wider car, a larger car for me, it's just better. But again. That favourite cars and Sims.
I thought David Day was going to compliment you on my podcast hosting skills, but no, he...
No.
They're absolute rubbish.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for the...
when we were mentioning about this, Paul, what was the time that you said we were going to stick to 1 hour? What was the first episode? An hour and 25 minutes.
Well, no, I said back to an hour and a half, and we're doing okay this week. So, I think that brings the main topic to a close for this week. So let us know in the forums, let us know on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you know, what has been the biggest change for you personally, or what do you think has been the biggest development in sim racing? Is it software? Is it hardware? Could it be, like I said, is it about the processing power, allowing developers to make the games better? And we touched it earlier on. We're going to talk about the AI element that recently got announced as part of MotoGP. You know, where is that going to go? And we'll touch on that further at some point. Don't forget, if you want to take part in some Assetto Corsa Competizione club racing events or R-Factor 2 and Race Room, subscribe to become a premium member at Race Department, and you can take part in our club racing. You know, if you're a little bit... unsure, you know, whether you're up to pace and whatever, it doesn't matter. You know, these club events are for people of all for all levels, and you'll come on, have a great community, people help out, people send me their setups all the time because I'm used at doing that. But and also don't forget, check out our YouTube channel, our Twitch channel. Paul Jeffrey, as we mentioned, is still on his way back from currently, as we record this, he's in a hotel in London because his flight got cancelled, unfortunately for him. But he's put a lot of effort in over the weekend, so he's probably not going to do a lot of content, I would imagine, this week for Twitch. But there's a lot of videos already there, so go and make sure you check them out. The next round, the SRO eSport, is coming up for Paul Rickard at the end of the month. So make sure you check out www.sro.
Well, hey, it's a Paul in Paul.
Exactly. www.sro-esport.com. Make sure you also check out our Twitter, our Instagram, and our Facebook. Search for Race Department. You will find us. Joseph, got any closing remarks you want to make before we say goodbye?
Yeah.
Brilliant, as always. Thanks for joining me, Joseph.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much for listening, thanks, guys.
Thanks for the for your interesting views tonight, especially on the biggest change stuff. I think that was really, really insightful.
I always have interesting views that no one ever agrees with. You're welcome.
Yeah, but like we say, we'll touch on the hardware makes you faster element at some point as well. And maybe not in the next podcast, but the one after. And thank you very much to David Day as well for joining us. You got any closing remarks you want to make?
Oh, thank you guys for having me. It's always great to have a discussion with you and talk about interesting subjects, about our mutual passion, which is sim racing.
Exactly. And hopefully you guys that are listening enjoy, whether you be on your commute to or from work, or whether you're in the gym, or maybe you're soaking yourself in a hot bath and you're,
or you're driving in Truck Simulator and you're listening to the one and only podcast you should be listening to.
Exactly. And or you're in the bath with your bubbles, with the candles around you, relaxing and listening to our dulcet tones. So thank you once again to Joseph Wright for joining me, David Nativo. I've been Paul Glover. This has been the Race Department Podcast. Cheerio.